got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper.
24/7. I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
All in my
boogie book. Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know.
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow.
Bro.
And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by the Bookkeeper 247.com. Welcome to Behind the Mic Podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but other topics throughout our culture. On the 10th episode of Season 2, Behind the Mic, Daryl sits down with upcoming Christian hip-hop artist Trill Will. They discuss the spirit over Birmingham, Alabama, along with the high homicide rate. They discuss Trill Will's upbringing, his influences coming up, his salvation story, and what some people may call it, quote-unquote, the white man's religion. Also, Daryl and Trill Will discuss fatherless homes and how that contributes to the behavioral patterns of children today. It's a must-hear interview, if I must say so myself. So without further delay, let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Holy Ghost, y'all. How many times you done narrowly escaped? Cause wide is the path, but narrow is the gate.
Gotta wait.
It ain't luck, it's a blessing. You ain't wanna talk to God, he left you this message. I done walked away from car wrecks and crashes. And I ain't break nothing but some glasses. I been stopped by police with the open containers. And we smoking, and I know they gon' hang us. But they let us off. I was held close by a force that I really never saw, thinking if I drank better liquor, I was better off. A man ain't a man if you say that he was never lost.
Never lost.
Who are you?
Let's go.
Well, if you hear me, I've been Father D. Well, if you hear me, I've been Father D.
Yeah.
Well, if you hear me, I've been held lonely by a stranger.
Oh, oh. You never been in trouble, almost having a car wreck make your heart rate double. It's timing, God got me rhyming. I done been a fool in love, Frankie Lyman. Friends say I changed, family say I grown up. I call it spiritual fitness, I'm getting toned up. When that last minute money came through, when everything was due, that was you know who. Oh, you ain't got a clue, it's footprints in the sand. I went to the grand jury, good book in my hand. You ain't seen a cell block with animals and creatures. First sign of weakness, they manhandle you and beat you. Survive off prayers, keeping in shape. A lot of inmates turn Muslim, I'm keeping the faith. I stick to the Bible, cause this is survival. Fight me and find out this little Christian a tiger. I thank God on a daily basis. Lord knows I done been in some crazy places. Another man's wife, nightclub, shot house, drug transactions, fight club, knockout. Hold up.
Look, see, what I'm trying to explain to y'all is that it ain't luck, it ain't being tough, it ain't none of that.
You understand?
Y'all think you're
shots
strange.
That you survived through them cases, CB.
You can't begin to check me.
And guys, I check myself. And I done been through worse than y'all. I done been worse than y'all. I recognize the Most High who held me the most close. And I thank him and I praise him. Y'all better learn to do the same.
Welcome to the ride where we don't want nothing on the book. We trying to get in the book. The Lamb's Book of Life, that is. Follow us as we follow him as we navigate through this world, changing the culture for God through media. I want to give a special shout out to my lovely wife for that beautiful intro. Buckle up, family, as we welcome Tria Will to the ride. What up, what's up, and what it do, Tria Will?
What's up, baby? Well, it is what it is, you know. God up, devil down. You know how it go. We doing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me on here, man.
Oh, man, no problem. You know, the people, man, when we enjoy this ride, they'll understand why I got you on here. I'm a little biased, I will say that. But I really appreciate you being on the show, bro. And welcome to the ride.
All right, it's good to be on it. Let's get it.
All right. So we're going to jump off into this thing, man. We like to treat it like a conversation. But the first thing I want to ask you is, where are you from?
Birmingham, Alabama. That's it. That's in the USA. I'm from College Hills, the west side of Birmingham. Hung out a lot in Smithfield and West End. If you know, if you're familiar with them places, then yeah. But yeah, I'm from the southeastern United States, Birmingham, Alabama. You know what it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's why I'm biased, family. Finally got to chop it up with an up-and-coming Christian hip-hop artist. And we from the same place, bringing it to you live right now in Birmingham, Alabama. So, Tria Will, man, describe your upbringing.
My upbringing was, I come up in the late 80s, early 90s, really. Around by the 90s, I was born in 82, so I come up around the 1990 through 96 type era, or 88 through 96. That, you know, it was a lot of, I got a younger brother and I got two older sisters. No older brothers, no daddy, no uncles, no granddaddy. So there's no older males, period, where I grew up. And I just came up riding bicycles, playing tackle football with no pads on. You know, mama was real strict, but mama was strict to a certain degree. Like, she would make us go to church, but she wouldn't go herself. It was that type of, you know, and I love mama to death, not taking no shots at her, but, you know, but that was how it was. Like, you're going to go to church, or, you know, you'll get that belt. So we went to church, you know, but it was more or less, it was a whole lot of dealing with the gangs, and because they were cripping real hard back then. So it was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of that going on, and it is what it is, you know.
Yes, sir. Who would you say your biggest influence was in your life, in your upbringing?
Man, as far as upbringing go, physically a person being there, my biggest influence was probably my mama. Well, actually, no doubt it was her, you know, because she's a strong woman even to this day, you know. Actually, she got the kids right now, so I can do this interview. So, hey, shout out to moms for watching the kids. I would, me personally, as the older, I was the oldest son, basically the oldest man in the house, you know what I'm saying, even as a little boy. What influenced me was stuff like Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Mr. T on the 18. I would like football players, like, you know what I'm saying, so I would idolize them. Or the guys that was rappers, you know, MC8 and stuff like that, you know, folks here on the radio, Bone Thugs, Masterpiece, you know, so people I don't know, more or less, I would adopt them and take what I want from them. Bruce Lee was another influence, you know. I'm into the martial arts, and so, you know, I would just design that type of person, because my mama didn't, you know, she didn't really have a lot of guys over, so I never had a male role model unless he was on TV or on the radio.
Yes, sir. Understood. Man, yeah, shout out, man, to your mother. Matter of fact, I'm going to take this time to shout out all mothers, because we doing this on Mother's Day weekend. So shout out to your wife. Shout out to my wife. Shout out to my mother and all the mothers out there listening. We want to give y'all a special shout out, because we know you play a vital role in this society.
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir. All right, Trill Will, man, I want to read this insert that I looked up today about Birmingham and where we're from. And then I asked a question after that. But okay. I was looking it up. This insert comes from bhamwiki.com. And it reads like this. It says, 38 homicides have been reported in the city as of May 6th, putting the city on pace for 110 for the year. Based on the 2018 census estimated of 209,400 in the population, that represents a homicide rate of 52.5 homicides per 100,000 residents. Birmingham had 124 homicides in 2020. The recent record low is 63 homicides was set off in 2014. And the recent record high was 141 in 1992. At this point last year, 39 homicides have been reported. The city has an average, listen to this, Trill Will. The city has averaged 9.1 homicides per month, or one every 3.3 days. The longest stretch without a homicide was a 12-day span between January and February. And that would lead me, that insert again was bhamwiki.com. And that would lead me to ask this question as we talk about the spirit of this city, right? With Birmingham being in the top five of homicides in the nation, what needs to be done to turn this negative into a gradual turnaround?
Man, I really think, and I'll get into just Birmingham in a second, but I really think, and this is scripture, this is in the Bible, when Jesus cast out those demons, and they said, can we go into the swine so we don't have to leave this region? I believe that there are actual demonic forces that prefer certain regions. And like, I think it was some years back when Camden, New Jersey was like the carjack capital of the world. Like, they would just, like, robbery was their thing. I think Birmingham, whatever demon Chicago got, Birmingham got that one. It's like murder rates just high. You know, some places you have where it's the lust and it's the sex thing that be so high. Some of them it's the addiction. Like, I lived up on the up down in Virginia, and they heroin epidemic was crazy, but their homicides wasn't as bad as Birmingham. You know, Birmingham, they just killed you. And so I think it starts inside. You can make all the gun laws you want to, but I don't think that is gonna change the heart. So the first thing I think we need to do is give people something to hope for, something to do. You know, this ain't a city where you really got much to do. Like, we don't have a lot of programs for young people. And young people, all they got is the social media. They get online. They got the, you know, people hating on them and them hating on them. And it's all this. And then you got firepower that's readily available. Us being a southern state, it's easy to get access to guns. Now, we ain't like New York. So it's easy to get access to guns. You got easy access to the internet. You got young people with, here come the kicker, with zero fathers in the home. So there is, like, if you've seen Boys in the Hood, there is no, like you know, said, like Larry Fishburne ain't here. So nobody's gonna stop these young boys from doing it. And that's part of Satan's plan, is to, if you get that father out the home and you put guns in hands, oh, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Because a woman as powerful as y'all, you're not gonna stop that little boy from go shooting this other little boy because he just got embarrassed over his shoes or his sneakers or a girl said something crazy or didn't like him. You know, so I think that it starts with getting fathers in the home and getting some scripture-based teaching for these kids and for the youth, you know. Because most old folks out here shooting like that. You know what I'm saying? They might hit you with the knife, or they might, you know, throw a bitch and walk away from the barbecue. But the homicide rate in Birmingham is ridiculous. You know, it's through the roof. That's sad. What it said, the longest span we had was 12. Listen to what you was just reading. It said the longest span was 12 days. That is crazy. That's not even 2 weeks. You can't go 14 days without killing somebody. You know, mm-hmm. and you know what I'm saying? It was like we averaged one every 3 days. That's bad. That's pretty bad. You know,
yes, sir.
I'm just speculating, but I think that where these homicides are occurring are probably in neighborhoods where there is a lack of fathers. Real talk.
Yes, sir. And there's inner city action too. We just talking about the inner city of Birmingham. We're not even talking about Jefferson County, you know, Center Point.
The outskirts.
We just talking about the city. I believe you're right. That's right. In the hood. I believe you're right. I believe it's lack of fathers in the home. I would like to share one of my church members last week. We've been in the Old Testament in Sunday school reviewing the prophets. Today, matter of fact, we just talked about Isaiah. And one of my church members was saying, what's sad is it's not even hot yet.
Yep. When summer comes, if you're from Birmingham, when summer comes, it goes up. You know, it goes back to that region thing I was thinking about. Like it's when the heat come up, it's how where people are uncomfortable. They perform in uncomfortable ways, you know. And so you're riding around with no AC, your hot as I don't know what, your baby mama screaming at you on your phone, little buddy at the store keep me mugging you. Before you know it, somebody's dead and gone, and his whole family crying. Another guy's serving jail time, prison time, and he's gone. Now his family crying, you know, and now he's crying. Mm-hmm. And so it ends bad when the weather go up. It ends bad.
Earlier today, I was over in Fairfield, over there by Western Hill Mall, and I hadn't been over there in a minute, but we was over there visiting a family member, and right by the projects, William, it used to be a gas station, but now right by the project, they have an ABC store.
There you go. Yeah. Now you add, that's fuel to the fire. There you go. Now it's gonna burn. So it's hot outside. We already mad at each other, and we in a cramped environment, and now here we come with the alcohol, you know, and that's a terrible spirit, I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of stuff I address, I be addressing it even in my music. You'll hear me talking about what I went through, like, not to brag on myself, but I be saying stuff that I know, like, because I've dabbled it all in the drug game and good stuff and this, that, and the third. I know how this gonna make you feel, how that's gonna make you feel, how much money this can make you. Blase, blase. And if you throw a liquor store in the projects and you add some 90 degree weather, that's a recipe for disaster in a day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'll share this before we go into this first commercial break. I noticed that all through the Old Testament, we have been studying the prophets, and the main point, God's chosen people kept going into captivity because of what they kept doing. Idolatry, marrying into the foreigners when God directly told them not to. But the majority of the messages from the prophet for the people was to repent and turn from their wicked ways. And I would say that goes for back then and right now in 2021. How do you feel about that?
I agree. Like it's what I think we're doing, and this is not Birmingham, this is like a society as a whole, American society, or probably other, I ain't never been to other countries, but in our society, like, we have the medicine for we got a sickness, and it's killing us, you know, that's why the death rate is so high, you know, and that's homicides, or whatever you want to call it, syphilis, but however people are going out, so it's such a young age, the medicine is there, you know what I'm saying? God gave you the scripture, he gave you the word, you know, which is there. And if you turn from those wicked ways, then he will heal your land, you know. That's Old Testament scripture, you know. And I believe that when people hear the message, they want to reject it so bad, which is why I think a lot of people so glued to their smartphones nowadays. Like it's right in front of your face. It ain't that hard to do. You know, and I think that they rejecting the message, plain and simple. And as long as you reject it, it is what it is. Like it is what it is. You know?
Yes, sir. And what's sad about that, William, is, you just made me think about it, is how many of us, our culture, our people, and I'm talking black people, I'm talking brown people, I'm talking minorities, period, that will say that this is the white man's religion.
I done dealt with that before. People come with that, and it's more, I think that's more of Satan's manipulation, you know, because he wants you to be confused, and he wants you to hate the word of God. You know, he came out the gate like that. That's how it was, you know, and that's why there's two parts of that, and that's why a lot of brothers in jail, you know what I'm saying, they and I saw this with my own eyes. I had two cellmates, they was both Islam, you know, and they was trying to get me to convert, and I just wasn't really feeling it, you know what I'm saying. I read the Quran, you know what I'm saying, it was a lot of the same Old Testament stuff, but they had a bunch of other stuff in there, and they was trying to teach you to hate the white man, and I just and that just ain't something that was in it, you know what I'm saying. But our people, when we consider the Bible the white man's religion, it's only because out of ignorance, because you haven't read it. If you actually read it, it's 66 books. If you read the first one, the very first country that's ever mentioned in there is Ethiopia. Your Bible may say Kush, it may say Ethiopia, depending on which version you got. But that is the very first country even mentioned. And scientists have found bones, the oldest human remains ever found, were in Ethiopia. So how does Bible and science agree, and they both come to a place where people are of color? You know, so if you're the enemy, the first thing you want to do is say, no, this is King James, blah, blah, and the third, he enslaved your people, boom, don't read it, you know. And we fall for it. You know, many of our brothers will fall for it. Brothers and sisters, you know, people of color will fall for it and try other things, you know. And because I done been down that road too. Like, I dabbled in Buddhism. In which Buddha was okay, he was cool, but all that reincarnation stuff, they was teaching a whole other gospel, you know what I'm saying? And there's only, you know, the gospel we preach and the gospel that we teach and we're students of is only one way to the Father, you know. And you gotta read instead of just listen to other people talk about it and just jump on the bandwagon and say white man's religion, which that's not the truth, you know.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we will be back after these messages.
What's happening, everybody? It's your boy TC, and you're now rocking with the Bookkeeper, 247.com. Hey, listen, when you have time, man, go check out my new single, Barabbas, featuring the homie Hugh Holler, streaming across all digital platforms. Man, we're talking about persecution on this one, man. You know, as believers, children of God, persecution is part of our testimony, man. There's no way around it. The world chose to free a murderer instead of Jesus. So we take that all for God's glory, amen? Yes, sir.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
All right, welcome back to the Ride Family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Christian hip hop artist Trill Will. Man, for this segment, man, for this segue, I'd like to ask you if you would share, what is your salvation story?
Man, that's a long one. That's a long one, but I'm gonna sum it up in a quick moment.
Yes, sir.
long story short, if you watch the rest of the podcast, you pretty much know how I came up, how I grew up, you know, single parent home, gang infested neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I ends up getting in trouble. You know, I actually got in trouble several other times, but kind of got away pretty cool, you know what I'm saying, for some other stuff. But I ended up getting in trouble pretty bad for a violent altercation and got charged with a Class A felony. Weapons were involved, this and a third bodily injury. And they was trying to give me 20 years. At this time, I'm like 29 years old. So a 20-year sentence for me, you cook. You know what I'm saying? You come home at 50, 51 would be my EOS, my release date. But so I spent some months and months and months in the county. And that's when I finally started reading the Bible for real. I was like, okay, let me just try to read this. And it was an altercation that occurred in a dwelling between me and another adult, and there were minors there. There were kids in the presence. They weren't in front of the altercation, but they were in the dwelling. So DHR came and took my child from me. They took my son. I had a son that was like 3 or 4 at the time. I think it was like 3. And they took him and they put him in foster care. So I go to jail and start reading my Bible. I ended up, after months of sitting in there, I bonded out to fight my case from the street. And during fighting my case, I have a no contact order with my child. Boom, boom. I'm the most violent man on the earth. The judge called me disgusting. Like, I was shackled, 3-point hookups every time I had to go to court. It was terrible. Anyway, started fighting my case from the street. And every time I would go to court, I had somebody with me. Somebody, another human, like a cousin or a sister or somebody was always with me. But one time I went to court, the last time they tried to take me to trial, I had nothing but my Bible. And I was sitting there, and the DA was like going hard. Like, they had a bunch of crazy looking evidence, you know, that made me out to be some kind of mass murderer, which I wasn't. But and I said, God, please tell me you're in here. Like, I have nobody here. Let me know you're in here. And I just opened my Bible to any out of all the scriptures, all the verses, all the chapters, everything you can find. It opened up to Isaiah 61, the first chapter. In the first verse, and it said something about setting the captives free. I got my Bible right here, actually. And it flopped open to this. It was a verse I've never seen, and it said something about setting the captives free. I think it was 61st. And I know I said I'm gonna keep this short. I'm trying.
Oh, you good, bro?
When it popped, that's 61:1. It's still highlighted to this day. And he said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those that are bound. And I was like, whoa. And I looked around like who, like, did the wind blow? Was it the ceiling fan in the courtroom? I'm like, you really here? Like, you out of all, like, I could open up to Jesus as well. I could have opened up to "For God so loved the world," you know what I'm saying? But it specifically went straight to captives will be free, prison, proclaim the gospel. It went straight to like boom, there you go. You got your marching orders. Go ahead, soldier. It's over with. And as soon as that happened, my lawyer said, "Let's go back in the briefing." Boom, boom. I'm thinking we finna go back through this again, because they had tried to give me, they knocked the 20 down to a 10 plus time served, and they was giving me all these crazy deals. And But I kept saying no, because it was self-defense. But anyway, he went back in there. He said, hey, they said, go ahead and go home. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, they said, that's it. It's over. I was like, whoa, that's it? He said, yeah, don't get no more trouble. And the judge, you know, I don't want to put a lot of names out there, but she was like, I don't want to see you again, Mr. Bradford. I said, you won't. You know, and that was in 2012. And I went home and I was supposed to go to work that day. I called out of my job. I called my boss, man. I said, because they knew what was going on with me. I worked at a place that only hired convicted felons anyway. Like, we all kind of knew each other's stories and who was going to trial and who wasn't. So I called him. I said, bro, I'm not coming to work today. And I was just like praising God. I was like the raking my mama's leaves, so she had no leaves left. Like, I had so much energy, and I was like, yeah, he real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was reading all this good stuff while I was fighting the case. But when I asked him to show me, and he showed me, I said, yeah, he's real. I said, he's real. Mm-hmm. He's here. And it's time to ride, you know? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And that's what it was. I had chill bumps, man.
Amen. Amen. Man, that's a yes, sir. That's a heck of a testimony, and I'm glad you shared it. It reminded me of, you know, I did a short review on your album, just some kind words, and I said what I liked about you, where I'm biased, is that we've had some of the same trials and ran some of the same trails. And when I was listening to your story, I was thinking about when I was in that county jail waiting on my sentence and for trafficking. And, you know, they called me red-handed. I was dirty. And I made bond and got out. And I got two lawyers. I'm like you. I'm not going to call them by name. But we know these two lawyers, we still see one of them on the news today handling big cases. And they were just buying me time. I was spending money buying them time. And I went down to that courtroom, William, and they offered me 45 years. And I'm like, 45 years, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, goodness gracious, you know. So, you know, I grabbed the sword and the Bible. But I didn't fully convert then. You know, I was basically still hustling to pay these lawyers, right? And I end up firing the two lawyers. See, I know God had his hand in it now, even though I wasn't. Today we were talking in Isaiah about lip service, right? About serving the Lord with lip service in out of Isaiah chapter 29. And that's what I was doing. I was serving with the lip service, William, but I was still in the background doing D, right? And the Lord led me to this lawyer, and she went down and she got my case out of one courtroom into a courtroom to where, at the time, being naive and not on the path I am now, I would say that she got it to a courtroom that she had favor in. But now, as a Christ follower, I see that the Lord put it in the courtroom that he had favor in.
And that reminds me of like what happened in my case. The original judge I was set to go before is a guy who he bams everybody. Everybody goes to prison dealing with him. It just so happened, I think it came around that second year in January, they tried to bring him up for trial again. He got voted out. Whatever, they had a new, you know, they run the elections every 2 years, blah, blah. A new judge popped up, you know what I'm saying? I had never seen her before, but she pops up and they got rid of the guy. And it's like, it's almost like God actually moved particular judges and that's only in the criminal court. And I end up still beating the civil joints and still getting, because they're my son anyway. Because he moved judges in the family court. Like, in family court is worse than criminal court. If anybody's ever been to either one of them, I would prefer neither. But family court is worse than criminal court. Family court will torture you. Criminal court will execute you. You know, so who you is like what you want to be. But he moved judges. He moved people around. And to the point where I was getting some of the best lawyers, and actually I had a fire lawyer too that was in family court, so I've dealt with that. It's like, in hindsight, not like you say, with the spiritual eye, now we can see what was going on. It's like God knows it's like he got the puzzle pieces. He looking at the outside of the box, we just looking at the little stuff in our hand, but he know what it's supposed to look like. Like, if you try to put something right here, it ain't gonna go. You know, he like, nah, this needs to go here. This needs to go here. I need this right here to make this masterpiece I'm trying to do. You know, and you only see it in hindsight because you don't know what you're going through when you're in it. You know, and that's the message of my music. I try to reach out to young guys or young girls who are in it and don't know how big this masterpiece really is. Like, let me break it down. Let me help you out a little bit, and then we're gonna walk together because nobody gave me no guidance. So I try to just be what I needed.
You know? Yes, sir. And I want to thank you, William, for sharing your salvation story. And that'll lead me to, we'll be back after these messages.
What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holler. And you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop. Behind the mic with the homie, the one and only, Daryl Kim. Go check out my music and plenty more on the bookkeeper247.com. We come this far by faith. Believe that.
we have a new way you can seed with thebookkeeper247.com to help us grow. Head over to the website, click the merch button, and pick out our newly better quality design t-shirts. Enter the promo code behind the mic and get 10% off of your purchase. Also, you can help us grow by dropping a comment and sharing the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscription button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, Behind the Mic, with my hubby and your host, Daryl Kemp. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Ride family, where we're sitting down and chopping it up with Christian hip-hop artist Trill Will. And we just came off the segue where he shared his salvation story with us. And right now we're about to move into the music. So when I asked you about soul purpose, you told me that I'm out here because the secular music is targeted at our youth. I want God to use me so they can see something different about God and hip hop. When did you want to start using your gift from God for God?
It's crazy because it like how the Bible says, like you know what I'm saying, my sheep know my voice, and I called them, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to do, like, I was a rapper before jail, before all that stuff. I was already in the streets, you know, hustling or whatever, doing my little thing and spitting, doing shows, you know, opened up for a lot of little artists that people actually look up to, like Boosie and Webby, opened up for Gucci Mane, did some stuff with T.I. It almost was on Slip and Slide Records, but that deal fell through. I talked with rap a lot. Like, I was involved in that hip-hop culture anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, boom, leaving that culture. Like, once I went to jail, I stopped thinking about any of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I was, like, focused on how to get out of here. But anyway, come home, and I'm sleeping on my mama's floor. And the girlfriend I was with at the time, which is my wife now, she had bought me a little iPod, and I was just, at night I couldn't sleep, and I just was typing these lyrics in this iPod, just typing these lyrics, and it was just like a lot of them, to the point where the memory was almost full. And I was like, man, but all the lyrics was about God, and about, and like, because I was reading the Bible all the time, so I'm just reading. So you understand, like the Bible says, the mouth only speaks what the heart is filled with. So it's like everything I was rapping was just like God. And after a while, I said, wait a minute, I got enough to make a whole album right here, at least about 4 or 5 songs. And so I called my old connects, and I'm like, hey man, I need some studio time. And off the face call, they're like, man, you good, blah blah, you know, come spit something, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming spitting. And when I say, hey, I'm doing something different now though, you know what I'm saying, I gotta pre-warn them, because they expecting another guy, you know what I'm saying, you know, a different type of dude. But I was like, here you go. And so I just started just rapping and recording, and after about 4 or 5 songs, I said, man, I got enough about a whole album. I said, all I need to drop an intro on here, maybe one more track, and then this can be something, you know what I'm saying? And then I started burning them off and passing out the CDs, you know, and it just jumped out like that. And next thing you know, it's like, you're a gospel rapper, you know, like I got that label. And to this day, I wear it proud.
Yes, sir. That's what's up. Tell me about Soul Purpose.
It was just me just jotting down a bunch of stuff, and just my hearts and feelings of what I was going through and what I was dealing with the Lord and dealing with what stuff that I thought would help other people. I included some of that in there. Honestly, the beats, I didn't write to the beats. The beats just was kind of like just stuff that I had saved in the iPod, and I just was writing, and I would rap what I'm reading to that, and I'd be like, okay, cool. And I was thinking, like, the biggest problem we have, or one of the biggest problems we have in our society, is that people don't know their purpose. You know what I'm saying? You don't know why you're here, and it frustrates people. You can see this a lot on these Facebook arguments and on these Instagram comments. And like, if somebody's doing something with their life and you're not doing nothing with yours, you're angry because you don't know your purpose. But you won't know your purpose until you know the person that created you. You know what I'm saying? The creator. So until you get to know God, you're going to be abstract as I don't know what. You might leave this job, leave this job, leave this neighborhood, leave this city. I'm going to move over here, blah, blah. I'm going to Atlanta. You can do all kinds of stuff. But if you don't know your purpose for being here, then you're a hamster on the wheel. And I think that people need to realize that their purpose, you were created, you know what I'm saying, to serve God. And we don't see that, so we serve jury, we serve whatever celebrities we like, you know. And we just need to get away from that and bow down to the Creator. Because if you don't, everybody's gonna eventually bow down to something. You want to bow down to that Impala outside sitting on sixes? Go ahead. Or you want to bow down to that addiction that you have? Go ahead. But these things won't help you fulfill your purpose. There's only one being that can, and that's where the title came from. Soul Purpose.
All right. Yeah, I think when I first seen you, it was on Facebook, and you was at a church performing Glorify, and
yeah,
I listened to that track over and over. But what would be your favorite track on that EP?
it's crazy because my favorite one don't nobody really like, but and the one I don't like they like. Due to a few copyright issues, if you go to the Spotify or the iTunes and try to download it, you won't get this one. But it's one called Angels. And to me oh, that was my favorite. It's actually Angels is on my SoundCloud page, but I couldn't monetize it because it's like a mixtape joint, you know. I think it's the Jay-Z beat, but Angels would be my favorite. Like Angels is hard, you know what I'm saying? It's hard, you know.
Yeah, I love Angels myself. I'm one of the blessed ones to actually have the original MP3. So I'm able to listen to it.
And that's the reason why. There's a reason why, like, you got my CD, there's a different track listing on the CD than it is on what's on Spotify and iTunes, because certain songs I just couldn't put on there, you know. But due to the money type thing. But that's cool. That's what's up. I think the first time I saw you was I didn't know you were from, I'm gonna say this real quick, I didn't know you from Birmingham. I didn't know you from Alabama, period. You know what I'm saying? Or even America. But I think I saw you on Twitter, and I just seen like the silhouette with the black joint, and you know what I'm saying, the guy was holding the book up, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, I like a lot of these dude tweets, you know what I'm saying? Dude on he's spiritually led. Like he on the right vibe. Like when the Holy Spirit is there, you can feel it. You know what I'm saying? You gonna know it. You know what I'm saying? Or you gonna know that, okay, this ain't going right. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, yeah, it's you know what I'm saying, he cool, you know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. And I'm glad, like, still to this day, I'm glad you reached out to me, you know, because like you were saying earlier, it ain't too many of us doing gospel in Alabama, you know, so in Birmingham, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Angels would be my favorite.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm glad we connected. Yeah, my partner Eric, he out the Brickyard. He's from Ensley. He's an artist on the team, and he actually drew that our logo for the bookkeeper.
Yeah, sir.
That's us. All right, so when I'm listening to Soul Purpose, right, I don't want to mess up your bars, but I noticed you've mentioned this in an interview that you have a lot of testimony in your song. So, you know, one of the things that caught my ear is when you were talking about these knockouts, and I know that you were an amateur boxer, and it made me think of, and I don't want to glorify none of this, but I had a partner out of Pratt City, and they used to have some of them fight nights over there at Pratt City Park, right? But that would lead me to ask, what was your favorite bars on Soul Purpose?
Man, favorite bars, man. Ooh. that's a main one, man. I guess probably. And I'm gonna just piggyback off just what you were saying about the boxing joint. I think I was saying something about when I turn the other cheek, get out my face, partner, because I throw combinations like a safe lock. You know, temptation is real. Avoid the traps. Women got ulterior motives, like the war in Iraq. Men will shake your hand and stab a sword in your back. I survived both. Give God glory for that. You know what I'm saying? Like that's
yes, sir.
You know, because back in the day, when in high school, we had the little lockers on. Now they got COVID, so everybody's home. But, you know, we had the lockers, you know, it's a combination. So I thought, like, you go left, you go right, then you go right again. That's something that we learned in boxing, you know what I'm saying? So it was like a double you know, you can get it from the high school locker thing. And also, if you, you know what I'm saying, been in the boxing situation, you know that you always, that's how you get your balance back, by throwing the opposite hand. You know, you don't keep throwing a left hook all night, you know. So that was one of my favorite joints. And you know, it is. I used to hang out in Pratt too.
Okay. Yeah, we probably know some of the same ones.
Probably do. You know, but it's so many balls on there, but I can't really say what's my favorite. But that was just one that kind of stood out because I was layering it, you know, two or three layers deep.
Oh yes, sir. Yeah, I did like them. Like you saying, throwing the combination, you threw a combination on the bars right there. I like that breakdown.
Yes, sir. I'll praise Jesus, man.
It is what it is. Amen. Yes, sir. That would lead me to ask you, as an indie artist, if you ever did, what would be the ideal label for you to sign to?
Oh, man. I really don't listen to, but like two labels. Well, three labels. All I listen to is God Over Money. Shout out Bizzle. I listen to Kingdom Music. Brian Trejo, Brian T. I've been listening to him since he was like just rapping on a laptop in Hog Mob out there in California. I do listen to D1, Eastron, Burgundy, you know what I'm saying, a couple guys. But as far as labels, I think I probably would fit in better with Kingdom Music because they Southern and my flow is Southern, you know. To me, it's all about how much time can I spend home with my family. So I don't want to be on tour for half a year and then I come home and my son got braces and some crazy haircut I ain't never seen. I'm like, man, where have I been? You feel what I'm saying? So you know, but I like the Hog Mob though. I like the way they get down, you know, and I like God Over Money. You know what I'm saying? Like they got a talented roster and they got longevity, you know. But I probably just looking at me now, probably would fit in better with Kingdom Music. But I take you know, any label. It could be new guys. It don't really matter.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm gonna ask the Lord for a favor within the next few years or so, not putting a time limit on the Lord. But I would love to start a label right here in Birmingham, and maybe the Lord will bless us. Well, we can spearhead something like that.
Ooh, yes, sir. Yeah. Coming out the Southeast, coming out of the Bible Belt, out of Cotton City, out of Slave Town. It would be epic. It would be epic to see that. You understand? Like that. And I'm with you. I'm with you. If that's what we going with it, let's do it. You feel what I'm saying? You know, like that's because I done spearheaded so much ignorance. You know, with some of the foul stuff I used to rap about back in the day. So, yeah, I'm finna spill here something good. Let's get it. Let's make it shake.
Absolutely. So, hey, y'all heard it here first. I'm behind the mic with Daryl from the Bookkeeper 247 and Trill Will. Put us in your prayer book, y'all, so we can change this culture.
Yes.
All right. So, we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, family. I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us on the bookkeeper247.com. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews, start your own podcast, write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Ride family. As we get into this last segment, with up-and-coming Christian hip-hop artist Trill Will. So, man, in this last segue, bro, I'd like to ask, as a platform, what can we do to, what can we do better to help out the indie artists?
What I think we could do better to help out an independent artist, I would think, man, it's so cluttered. It's so much. I would think originality is the way to help them out. Because with the platforms, like, you want to be on Spotify, iTunes, Instagram, all this other good stuff. Everybody's already on that. So if everybody's already here, what can I do? It's almost like joining a football team. It's 10 running backs. How can I make my running different than the other running back? You know what I'm saying? They go straight through, boom, I got spin moves. Or I can throw the ball. They can't throw. You see what I'm saying? So you have to be different. But I could be wrong. But like, for the most part, everybody is all sound the same. Like, you know, when you get a guy that jumps out, like just going to just regular music, people like Kendrick Lamar stick out because they don't sound like everybody else. People like a DMX, you know what I'm saying, rest in peace. He didn't sound like the rest of, you know, hey, what's up, son? He didn't sound like a regular New York rapper. Like, he sounded different, you know? Mm-hmm. And the same way Master P came out and, like, had the South sounding like, okay, these boys on some different, you know? So I think the difference, we need to embrace our individualness instead of just trying to piggyback the last guy that blew up.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because that's my biggest argument in Christian hip hop would be that we, as platforms, as artists, we work for the creator of all things. And with that being said, he created us as individuals. So the ideas and the creativity ultimately comes from him. So why would we have to copycat the worldly artists or platform and what we call success?
Yeah. Yeah, you say you just, yo, you just said it. You just said it. Like I don't wanna knock nobody, but to me, it's hard for me to praise the God that gave me this voice box if I have to press an auto-tune button and alter what he just gave me. You see what I'm saying? Like he gave your voice is not like my voice. His voice, I'm like, everybody got it. Like, they have fingerprints. You know what I'm saying? Like we're individual. And so why would you alter that when you're supposed to be praising him? Now I'm pretty, if there are gospel rappers that do use auto-tune, they may be mad at me for saying that. But that's the same thing I would come to, that I would have that same person sitting here right now. I'd be like, hey man, like, turn the auto-tune off. Let's hear your real voice. And he may start to find pride in it, you know. Mm-hmm. He may like it. He may, like, boom, okay, I do feel some confidence about my real voice, you know, like that. But I just, and maybe I'm just a guy who don't like auto-tune. I don't know. But I don't believe in altering what God gave me. You know, I've done enough of that with tattoos. So I don't believe in altering the internal stuff. Come on.
Yeah, that's awesome, because we'd be on here another hour, but I'll just put this question out here, not for you, but for everybody listening.
Yeah.
I would say that would lead me in my thinking, what you just said, what are we in it for? You know, some, which I'll say this, big followers, that's great. Jesus had a big following. I don't have nothing against that, but allow your motives to be pure, and allow your calling that God gave you to be pure and obedient to what he gave you. So I would question, what are our motives as platforms, as artists, our drive, what is our passion?
Yeah. True. That's and that's the question that needs to be asked. Like, are you, and it's weird, because when I first was passing out my CD some years ago, I was telling people, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, hey, blah, blah, I rap. He's in the third, I'm a gospel rapper. Or people would come to me and be like, hey, I heard you rap. Like, this on the job and stuff. And they would be like, hey, I heard you rap, yada, yada, yada. And I'd be like, yeah, I do gospel. And the first thing they would always say is, You can make a lot of money doing that. You can make a lot of money doing that. Instead of saying that, man, you know, my mama got breast cancer, and man, I really do need some good music. I need some kind of, I need something to keep my head straight, or, you know, praise God. Yeah, that is good to doing that. You know what I'm saying? But the first thing they would always say was, you can make a lot of money doing that. And I'm like, man, I can make a lot of money doing a lot of different other things. You know what I'm saying? This ain't, I'm not trying to break your pockets. What I'm telling you is the boom, put this in your rotation and just tell somebody else about it. Pay it forward. You know? And it wasn't about the bread. But you right about that. And so that's why you gotta, but the Bible say, judge a tree by the fruit. You know, so you gotta see what they produce. If you're producing greed, then you're probably greedy. If you're producing people that actually come to the Lord, your root is probably in the Lord. You know, so that is what it is.
Absolutely. All right. So the next couple of questions, and we're gonna finish this thing out. What should we be looking forward to, and what are you working on from Trill with?
I'm working on music. I got something coming up called Watch and Pray, you know, and it's gonna be a different type of vibe than Soul Purpose. Soul Purpose was more bold and unapologetic, and it was hard, you know. I'm working on something called Watch and Pray. It's gonna be a more I don't want to say a somber project, a sad project, but it's gonna be hit you a little harder, because I'm digging into the soul, and we're gonna talk about some of these addictions that we got that we can't get rid of. You know what I'm saying? Like Soul Purpose, a lot of praise God, boom, 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 I'm out of jail, you know, got my son back, it's fantastic. It's in third. But when we get into Watch and Pray, we're gonna mature as Christians together. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, let us start cutting out, let us weed this garden. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like we trimming the plant. The plant's in food. Now let's start trimming off some of this dead stuff, is what we're gonna do now. You know, but aside from that, I'm actually looking forward to just, if I can get back into speaking to the youth. I used to do like a lot, almost every weekend, was doing a lot of public speaking with at-risk youth, speaking at churches, speaking at the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. I was doing a lot of that type of stuff. So I want to get back more into the community work too, but unfortunately, my job had me tied up a whole lot, but they may have to shake some of them shackles loose. You know?
Oh, I know that's right. Absolutely. I'm going to talk to you off air. It'll be a while, but I've actually, some of my church members want to introduce Christian hip hop to some of our younger kids in our church. So we definitely going to chop it up in the future about coming and, yeah, setting it off at our church.
I'm with it. Every time I perform anyway, I'm gonna give them a testimony and a you know, a scripture. It's gonna be a mini sermon every time. You're gonna get you some music. You're gonna feel good, but then you're gonna get you a little baby sermon every time. You know, it might turn into a big boy sermon depending on how the spirit moves. You can't quench the Holy Spirit. You know.
Yes, sir. So the last thing I got for you, William, Trill Will, tell the people where they can follow you at and find you at.
Oh, you can find me on all social media platforms other than the newest stuff. I'm on Twitter, probably the easiest way to get me. And that's at Trillwheel 205. 205 is the area code down here. You can find me on Facebook at Trillwheel 205. You can find me on Instagram at Trillwheel 205. If you want the music is on SoundCloud. / Trillwheel 205, and also I'm on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. If it's out there, it's out there. You know what I'm saying? So you can and for the price of a 99-cent hamburger from Rally's, you can download a very high powered, healthy gospel rap song. So please check me out. It's gonna be Yahweh or the hard way. You're gonna bow down to him eventually. You already know what it is.
Amen. And y'all heard them, family. Trillwheel 205. And support the artists. We understand that streaming is great, but we need to be able to support these artists and artists like Trillwheel, so we can get the message of God out to his children and his people. like I like to tell my church members, since I go to a senior church, the message hadn't changed. It's just the way of the delivery.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. That's that. There you go. That's it. That's what Christian hip hop is. That's what gospel rapping is. That's what it's just a new method of delivery, because they don't. You can't put a VHS tape, you know what I'm saying, inside a Blu-ray player. But it could be the same movie, but it just won't accept it. And so you got to modify that thing and be like, okay, cool. We're going to keep the message. It's going to be the same movie. I'm going to just put it in a format that you can understand. There you go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And all right, family, before we get out of here, you know where you can find us at? All you got to do is put hashtag TBK. 247, and I guarantee you we'll pop up in your favorite browser. Trill Will, I want to thank you for joining me today, man. May the Lord continue to bless you, bless your family, bless your ministry. And I just want to say thank you again for the work that you're putting forward for the Lord. Appreciate you, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Hey, it's all glory to God, man. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. For all of the YouTube listeners, make sure you hit the alert notifications. Also, if you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside our Anchor link or our PayPal link. The donations will help our growth regarding better equipment so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.